Ed and Rizan Ferrelli on 2FM
with Virgin Mobile. Go from scrolling through stories to creating your own. Freedom is calling. Virgin Mobile. Bring on amazing.
How we feel about ourselves and how we think others see us affects our outlook on life. I think we can all agree on that. But when you're coming of age, it can all get a bit much. It can get on top of you. And that's why Tony Griffin joins us in studio. He has written a book, The Teenager's Book of Life. He's been on talking about this book before. But he's gone and updated it with a section on body image. Tony, how are you?
Great, Jen. And good to be here.
Great to have you in. So why did you feel you had to update the book?
It was just coming out of the back of the pandemic. I wrote the book during the pandemic and it was built on 9 years of listening to teenagers and their stories. Mm-hmm. And obviously body image had come up a lot in that time, but I hadn't it in the initial book for many reasons. But then so many people would come up to me, write to me, email me, say, look, what about body image? And a really, really close friend of mine, his daughter went through a very, very bad patch with an eating disorder. And I just said, okay, I'm going to write this. So
it's so sad to hear that this is something that has to be addressed. But what have we learned about teenagers and body image?
Well, it's complicated. It's complex. That's the one thing I learned when I sat down with it. Like, I was really fortunate. My oldest sister, Angela, is the lead clinical psychologist in Southampton University Hospital dealing with children and families. So I said to her, hey, like at Christmas, I said, hey, you have the expertise and I have this fascination with understanding life. Let's put it together. So she brought the nuts and bolts and I went out and talked to a lot of people, a lot of teenagers. And I think what I learned most is it's so much prevalent than we realise. And there's a spectrum from just mild, I'm really mad about myself and I was probably one of those teenagers, mm-hmm. all the way up to I really dislike who I am and I will do anything to be like someone else and not me.
What age are we talking here?
Younger and younger. You know, I spoke to 12, 13, 14 year olds generally about how they felt about themselves. And then I spoke to this really cool group, this band, Mellow Bliss. They're all 16, 17. They're completely doing their own thing, living out in Blessington, just doing their own thing. And I interviewed them and I swear to God, I learned so much about what it looks like when you're comfortable in your own skin. Mm. You know, Dylan and Keane and these guys, just amazing.
And what's their secret?
Well, their secret is I think they've found other people like them who don't want to be what everyone expects them to be. They love their music. You know, two of them, their mums died when they were 10, 11. And so they bonded and they created this band. And they just are so different to all the other teenagers I met. Now, they get a hard time for that.
Yeah.
They talk about being shouted at on the street by other, you know, they don't wear the tracksuits. They don't like fit in. They're not the Insta 16-year-old.
Mm-hmm. But they're doing their own thing.
And they're so happy.
Do you think because they've been through such trauma that they have a bit of a different perspective on life?
Completely. Two of the guys in the bands, their mothers died and they got to know each other. And they're wiser beyond their years. And they've learned that if I try to be who I think everyone expects me to be, I'm going to be unhappy. Whereas if I'm true to what I think I am, it's all going to be okay. And then they found other people like them. And I think in some ways they're a model for what we all want to be.
And we all want our kids to be.
Exactly.
What's the key? How do we get them? Like, how do we do that? Because we're up against so much, aren't we, Tony, with social media and pressures in school and life and everywhere. It's all around them and all around us. So how do we bat that off?
Well, it actually starts with us. Like, unknowingly, our children and even talking to teenagers, they're so clued in. They're so wide to parents. And so I'd say, first of all, parents, I know this, like, and I'm a parent myself, but to younger kids, is to try and fall in love with yourself and be actually comfortable with who you are, because that's the greatest model you'll ever give your kids. Everywhere else, social media, it's the opposite for them. So you've got to be a counterbalance. And like, it's really about getting them to see themselves as more than how they look.
Yeah.
Living life from inside out. Like, inside out is, who am I? Outside in is, What do I need to be to please others?
It's such a relief to hear that. I remember talking to a psychologist on this show a couple of months ago, and I was a lot of parents texting in and having this concern of the outside influences with our kids and social media, and it's this big bad thing that we can't control or whatever. But the psychologist said, children get their values from the home. Mm. So it's so true to what you're saying there. You have to look at yourself and like, how do you talk about your body in front of your children?
Exactly.
Especially with the problems with eating disorders with boys and girls. Yeah. How do you look at yourself? Yeah. And that was a weird thing to hear, but it gave me great relief because there's an element of I'm still in control of this, of what I can do, and I can still do something.
And that's it. A lot of parents feel so. And if we have the time, we can talk about the other end of the spectrum, which is eating disorders, because I talk to a lot of parents about what have you learned that you'd like to pass on to other parents. Because there's a whole network in Ireland of parents that, as we speak, are really going through hell with their teenager who's not eating, isn't leaving the home. But then, as you said, you know, there's a part in the book. And like, really, Jen, this book has amazed me because it's been read by parents and grandparents all over the world, as well as teenagers, because I think a lot of parents are retrofitting their makeup, their identity, because they've realized they need to evolve as a person in order to parent and to be. So back to your point, for parents to realize the most important relationship they'll ever have isn't with their children, it's with themselves, and work on that relationship, the kids will benefit exponentially from that.
Sure. And it's important to remember that body image is not just an issue for girls, right? I mean, this is across the board.
Yeah. Right. And like, I was one of those fellas, like, growing up lanky, like 6'2", 11 stone, hated how I looked, would do anything to put on weight and look more muscular. And you know, I remember at one stage my brother saying to me, "Jesus, Tony, you've got so strong." And I see it as body dysmorphia or Adonis syndrome. I thought I was skinny, you know. But the amount of fellas I spoke to who all they want to be is shredded and like some of the guys on Instagram. And I say to them, "But you do know that's their full time job. They're in the gym 6 hours a day." And so it's teenage years, and that's why I think I'm interested in them so much. It's like we're in this middle ground.
Yeah.
And we're not there yet. So it is very important, the influences we have, because they tell us who we can be.
Are you telling me my parenting is really going to start when my kids become preteens and teenagers?
Who knows? Well, I don't know. We'll be swapping advice because I'm still learning about how to parent.
I know, right? I mean, I see it. I suppose there's positives and negatives, but when I go to the gym in the afternoon, it is just filled with 14, 15-year-old lads, you know, just trying to bulk up and get bigger. And it's kind of complex, as you said, but it's a positive because they're not in a field drinking cans like I was. But then there's a negative, I suppose, side to that, because they're so focused on how they look.
Yeah, anything taken to its extreme where it becomes our identity is identified with is problematic, potentially problematic. And for a lot of those guys, they're trying to look big on the inside so it'll fill the hole on big on the outside so it'll fill the hole on the inside.
Yeah.
And it's only a gateway to where they're going to go.
So would you say, because you work with a lot of kids and you've spoken to a lot of kids and a lot of work in schools, a focus, sport, hobbies, music, is that really important in those years?
Massively, because at those years of life, the thing you want most is to fit in and be accepted by your peers, not your parents, your peers. You know your parents are kind of going to be there. You know you've got them. And so anything that is a form of expression for a teenager is healthy, because it's about expressing who they are, not who they think they should be. And, you know, it's crazy, like one of the primary regrets of the dying, to go in a completely different direction for a second, is I wish I'd had the courage to be true to myself and not what others expected of me. So teenagers at that age, if they can find more about what's being true to myself, and there's a piece in the book on how to do that almost, then they're set up for life. Their identity is based from the inside out, not the other way around. So then they'll choose the partner that matches them and the livelihood that matches them. So I'm not going to say to parents, you need to do X, Y, and Z, because I think parents are doing an amazing job just doing what they do. It's not an easy role. But what I would say to a lot of parents is just know that teenagers are so much more capable than you think, and they can find their way. So worry less about them and invest more in yourself. Unless you're a parent who, you know, there's something changed with your teenager. They're not eating. They leave the table every time after the meal. They're in the room a lot. If you think there's a problem around eating disorder, there is. And I'd say don't kick the can down the road. Any parent I spoke to said, "I wish we'd intervened earlier," or "I wish I'd realised we've an issue and went and sought help earlier." Because then you get a handle on it before it becomes something that's really, really entrenched.
Absolutely. So you've introduced this into the book. What else is in the book for those who haven't read it or got their hands on it?
Well, when I set out to write, I said, what was it I wished I'd been told at 15 and I heard? So it's kind of a non-sugar-coated map for how to navigate life, how to fall in love with yourself, how to be comfortable in the skin you're in. So it's everything from, you know, hard times, how to get through painful times, how to like yourself more, how to find what your thing is, how to find direction. The last chapter is on death and how to become comfortable with people dying in your life. But, you know, I've had teenagers write to me or message me saying, I'd never thought anyone could understand me till I read that book. Now, to me, that's more important than book sales, infinitely more important, because that means some young person has guidance or just someone that they feel understands them. So it's really a travel guide for teenage life. If parents do get it, I'd say have a read yourself, because you'll be ready.
Absolutely. The Teenager's Book of Life, with a new section in it on body image. Really, really important. Tony, always a pleasure.
Lovely to see you, Jen. Thanks so much. You're a great supporter.
Absolutely. I love your work. But we've talked so much, but never had you in the studio. And you brought a little person with you.
Yeah, I brought Jerome, our 7-year-old, who's...
being the best seven-year-old ever. Well, listen, Tony, always a pleasure. Thank you so much.
Thanks,
go and
Jane.
Get this book, The Teenager's Book of Life. It might just really help you out.
Jennifer Zaffarelli. Weekday morning from 9 on 2FM.